that your name is above every other name. We thank you that your name has changed our lives. We thank you that your name has changed this old world. And we long for that day when we'll be with you in the kingdom. So bless us now as we speak words of life. May it find a lodging place in our hearts this day. In Jesus' name, amen. I was reminded to remind you again of the concert at 2:30. After we eat, come and join and hear more of his voice. I think you got a taste of just how beautiful their voices are and their ministry and music. So come back at 2:30 and join us. I want to share with you just before I speak, and I want to speak especially to those today who have completed a course of study, those who have graduated, those who have finished. And so I want to speak especially to you today. But before that, I want to share with you the results of the survey or the you're checking the block regarding sermons that you would like to hear. Number one on the list was doing God's will. So that's what most respondents came back on that one. Number two, again, this may say something about the church. Number two on what you wanted to hear preached was, why is the church so afraid of change? That was number two on the list. Number three was the second coming, and we preached about that at least once a quarter. And then the Sabbath, which we do also, so you're right in line with what we're already doing. The next one was religion and politics. It had a high number. Wanted to hear about religion and politics. Next was the writings of Ellen G. White, and then really dug a hole for Pastor Madoff and myself. Can I eat meat and be saved? Help me, Jesus. Amen? I know you can't wait to hear that one. And the bottom of the list was, what in hell do you want? All right. Some of you weren't sure what that was, so that's probably why that made the bottom of the list. Everybody's doing it, so why can't I? Was also at the bottom of the list. Race relations and prejudice. I figure no one felt that they had that problem, so that was why that was at the bottom of the list. I'm going to preach it anyhow. Amen. a lot of write-ins. We had two pages of notes with things that were not on the list that you would like to hear. Somebody put the 27 fundamental beliefs, all right? So that'll keep Pastor Madoff and I busy for almost a year, all right? So those are the some really good ideas. Angry people, forgiveness, walking with Jesus, keeping the commandments. What to do with children who don't love the Lord? It's a good one. How do you forgive someone who hates you? Women in ministry was high on the list. That was about number seven. Should women be in ministry? And contemporary Christian music. Why isn't it allowed? Romans 8, Matthew 23. You know, you wrote on many of those in. So we have our work cut out for us, Pastor Madoffa. And we'll kind of give you an idea. We'll let you know when we're going to preach some of these things. And probably won't start on them until after I come back from Japan. I'm going to see my daughter in Japan in July. So I'll probably start on them after that. And for those of you who did not get to fill out and you have something on your mind that you would like to hear us preach about, let us know, and we will certainly give it a try. Now, because I preach this doesn't mean I'm going to agree with you. Is that all right? Can you handle that? Okay, I heard one person say, all right. But we'll see what the Word of God and the Spirit of Prophecy has to say to that. Today, we're going to speak on, can God trust you? The coach called the play L.K. King Zinn 53. The running back was 11 yards shy of the all-time NCAA rushing record. And in the final game of the regular season, in order to break that record, he had to complete this play. And so he tears off on a 60-yard run and breaks the record, in which most call the most dramatic play in college football history. His team upset the other team 26-24. He carried the ball 44 times, 259 yards. If you know anything about football, that's quite an accomplishment. Caught five passes for 36 yards, 295 all-purpose yards. Prior to that, he had set the record for the most yards over a two-game span, 316 yards rushing and six touchdowns in the previous game, and the game before that, 350 yards and five touchdowns. In college, he carried the ball 1,011 times for 6,279 yards, 72 touchdowns, 85 passes, a Heisman Trophy winner, All-American, Maxwell Trophy, Offensive Player of the Year. And when he left college, they retired his jersey. One sports writer named the 100 greatest players of all time, and this individual was listed number 22. It was said about him that everything that you could ever want in a college running back, he had. He was polite to a fault, respectful, and very, very good, and very productive. I think you're trying to figure out who that is. You'll get it now. In the NFL, his coach, Mike Ditka, thought so much of him that he traded away all of his draft choices that year, and the first and third for the year 2000. He was traded to Miami. I think you're trying to figure out who it is, where he ran for 3,225 yards in the last two seasons. But he came back from Australia with his head shaved, his dreadlocks gone, came to his coach and told his coach, "I'm going to move on with my life. I have bigger and better things. And there's no chance I'll change my mind. I don't know what I'm going to do, but I know it's going to be fun. I'm going to travel for the next 6 months. You see, I'm halfway intelligent, and I'll figure out something. I don't have to explain myself to anyone." 3 weeks ago, Ricky Williams decided to come back out of retirement, because the Dolphins asked for their money back. And if you've read a lot of the background, you know that he left for some other reasons also. So much talent, so much ability, but never will reach his full potential. You know, this kind of story, this kind of scenario is played out every day. Maybe on a smaller level, but it's played out. People with so much talent who never really function at their full ability. I know you resonate with what I'm saying, because as parents, it's one of the things we struggle with our children, with our loved ones. We see them with so much ability. We see their talents and their gifts, and we wonder why they're in the position that they're in. I know it's a struggle, and I've entitled the message, "Can God Trust You?" This is the time of the year when many have completed, and we had individuals who stood with us here on the rostrum. You have finished. You have graduated. You have completed. You have gained victory. It's both a happy time and a scary time, all at the same time. I think as parents and guardians and loved ones, we're scared. We're scared of the events and the celebration and the proms and the parties and the fast driving you might do and the people you might hang out with. And you are happy and elated and excited, for you have completed. And when you complete something, there's a natural tendency to think, I have the right now to let my hair down. And we worry about that. And you wonder, since I have completed this course of study, whatever that might be, shouldn't I be trusted more? Can you be trusted? Well, I have a message for you. You may not know this or not, but life is hard. And it's even harder without God. I read what a senior person had to say regarding a younger person. And she said this. You know, I survived World War II, 3 car accidents, 2 bad marriages, 2 depressions, dozens of jobs, 3 mortgages, and a bankruptcy. And some fresh-faced teenager had the nerve to tell me, you don't know what life is all about. Jesus did have an answer for us. Jesus was about to leave this earth. If you'll turn your attention to Matthew chapter 25, most of us are aware of the parable of the wise and foolish virgins. Again, Jesus speaking because he doesn't have long on this earth. We all know about the lamps that need oil. But there is another parable that Jesus wants to share with us that is equally as important for us as Jesus is about to leave this earth. He tells the parable about the servant who employs their gifts with diligence. And when they employ their gifts, they will be rewarded. You see, in Matthew chapter 25, starting at verse 14, all his servants have abilities and they should prosper accordingly. There were 3 individuals in this story with gifts and talents. And I'd like to challenge your thinking in a sermon that will come one day, but I want you to think about it before it comes. Are all men and women created equal? Think about that, all right? Think about that. I found that there is no greater responsibility given, which Jesus gives to these individuals, than to be given that of money and power. And that's where we struggle. Can God trust you? Can he trust you with money and power? He gives to the servants an equal opportunity to succeed. Not the same ability, but each given the same opportunity. God doesn't expect Christians to have the same results with varying ability. But God does expect from us interest on his investment from each of us. And in the judgment, it is not your ability that will evaluate you, but whether or not you have used your ability to your full range that God gave you, that you really used them with all your might. And so I say again, 2 challenges that Jesus presents to the servants and is presented to us is that when we have wealth and power, how do we handle that? Interesting, when you read the Bible, you'll find that God's servants, God's leaders, had both wealth and power. Joseph, Job, David, Solomon, Esther, Daniel, just to name a few. Can God trust you? When you notice and you read the story again of Matthew chapter 25 starting at 14, you'll find that Jesus did something very interesting. He gave them a talent, but you have to understand the context. He gave them money. He gave them power of a large amount. A talent was equal to 6,000 denarii. A denarii was a day's wages. And so he gave the first servant 5 talents or 30,000 days' wages. He gave the next one 12,000 days' wages. The next one 6,000. So he gave them a lot to work with. Have you ever been given an assignment and not had anything to work with? Is there anything more frustrating than that? Nothing more frustrating than that. So he gave them what they could really work with. Jesus was about to leave this earth, and he wanted his disciples to use their gifts to increase his kingdom and to raise up other disciples. And the disciples fulfilled that obligation, because we are here today in 2005 because of the ministry of the disciples and the fact that their talents grew. Can you say amen to that? Under the Holy Spirit, their gifts increased and the church increased. 5 talents grown to 10, the 2 to 4. And the Lord said to the 5, those with the 5 talents and those with the 2, well done. And I want you to get this, because this is the essence of what is really the story is all about. He pronounces on the 5 talent and the 2 talent, good and faithful. Enter into the joy of your Lord. God cares about quality and motive rather than quantity. The watchword is, God says to us, good and faithful. When you are good and faithful, what do you think happens to you? What do you get? When you have exercised your talents from the 5, and you get 10 to the 2, and you get 4, what do you think happens? You get more responsibility. That's exactly what happens. Sometimes what we view, and I say this to our younger members here, we see people who are successful. And I pray that you would look on them, and I hope that we would be good models. But you need to know that they did not get there by accident. They were faithful over a few things. And so I will make you ruler over many. You don't start from the top. Are you with me? And I say this, if you're ever looking for leaders, leaders of a church, always go by this. They ought to be leaders who are faithful over their own household. Oh, help me, Jesus. Are you with me? Because that's being faithful over a few. If you can't be faithful over a few, how are you going to run a church? Oh, help me. Are y'all with me? I always look for a leader that's faithful over the few things, and that's his own household. Then you can have more responsibility. The challenge for us is, with wealth and power, how do we handle that? Recently, Oprah Winfrey had a party for a group of ladies that she really admired, that she considered famous. And just listening to the account, it was quite a party. In fact, she spent a lot of money. But what I do know about Oprah, even though I disagree with her on some things, is the fact that she has been able to handle her wealth in a good way. And I believe that you will never get anything until you learn how to handle it where you are. And when you do, your talents will increase. And the Lord will bless you. But I want to spend just a few moments on the one talent person. Because I believe that's the challenge that we have. And I must say that I'm embarrassed that so many in the church are one talent people. I don't mean one talent in that what God has given you. I mean that you say what the servant said, the one talent servant. Guess what he said? He said, God, I know that you are hard, and I was afraid, and I hid it. There are times I honestly believe, and I pray that maybe I'm wrong, but I sense sometimes that in the Christian faith, we are afraid. And why would we be afraid as Seventh-day Adventists? We are afraid and we hide it. I said this in the first service, I'll say it again. I don't want to be anywhere where the people of God are afraid of God. Amen? Or afraid of me. Okay? You don't ever have to be afraid of me. You can come to me 1,000 times. You don't ever have to be afraid. I don't think we should be fearful people. Amen? But that's exactly what the one talent man did. He was afraid of God. He hid his talent. Then he came to God and said, all of them said, look. But he had nerve to say, look, I've hid it. And I have exactly. You know what he was saying in essence? God, your laws are too hard. God, you are too strict. You know, Satan hears that. He knows when we feel that way. And guess what God does when we approach him that way? He takes the talent from the one talent individual who is afraid of him, and he gives it to the person with 10. Isn't that something? Now, all of them are church members. Are you with me? All of them started off as servants. He takes it from the person who is afraid and gives it to the person who already has 10. And so what you see as you go around, I know you see it because I see it. You see the same people up front year after year after year, and then you have nerve to ask, why are they up front all the time? Because you say no every year. Year after year, and God just multiplies their talents, just gives it to them. Y'all still out there? I know I'm in trouble today, but that's okay. You know, there's only two religions, one of fear and one of love. And you know which one you should not be operating in. You know what I really like about this story? And I believe there's a lesson in there for us. God begins the account with him bestowing what he has upon us. We don't have anything. He has it all. He gives it to us. He starts with giving it, giving to us. He never asks until he has given. Amen. When I was growing up, my parents would give me money so that we could buy them gifts. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Give us money so that we could buy either one of them the birthday present or whatever. Why would they do that? They did that because they wanted us to get the message that it's better to give than to receive. Amen? And I'm glad I learned that lesson, and my children and my household have learned that lesson. They are giving people. Let me read something that Ellen White had to say about this issue of talents and gifts. Ellen White is a prophet to our church. To those who are guests may not know that. We consider her inspired. Amen? That's right, we still do. She says this to everyone, and I want especially our young people to get this. To everyone is committed some special endowment for which he and she will be held responsible by the Lord. There's something special that God has given you that God's going to hold you responsible for. I don't know what that is, but she enumerates some things. Let me tell you what she had to say. We're going to be held responsible for time, reason, means, strength, mental powers, tenderness of heart. All are gifts from God, entrusted to be used in the great work of blessing humanity. You know where you learned about this even more? About God and His goodness and His gifts to us. You learn it on the cross. You learn it about Jesus on the cross. What's there that Jesus gave His all and His life and His love. And I believe that if we would truly learn to love, love annihilates fear. And perfect love casts out fear. Learn it at the cross. I've discovered that fear paralyzes. And a lot of things are not done in the church because people are afraid. They're afraid to get up front. They tell you, I'm afraid to do this, I'm afraid to do that. You know we must be getting a nominating committee time for me to preach this, right? We need to stop believing the lie that the devil says, I knew you were hard. I knew what was due you, and I can't accomplish it. I can't give it to you. But did you notice the reward that he gives? Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord. Did you notice that? Joy is mentioned over 500 times in the scripture. And I honestly believe that if we would love, we would have joy. And that the people of God should have joy. Do you believe that? Do you believe that the people of God should have joy? I believe it. That's what Jesus offers us. You know, fear brings what God cannot accept, a lack of love. That's why he takes the one individual who had no love and sends him to a place where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth, which is really a description of the remorse of the loss. Can God trust you? If you love him, he can. Think about somebody that you really, really love. You'll do anything for them. You do not want to disappoint them. God can trust you when you love him. He can't trust you when you don't. I can't tell you, for those who are on the stage and others who are sitting out, I can't tell you how much God wants to use you. There are things that you are to do that no one else can do. I've told the story before. Forgive me if I have. You'll probably hear it again next year. Sometimes I forget the stories that I tell. But I tell the story about Fred Smith. Fred Smith was a student at Yale. His undergraduate work, and he had a dream about that you could somehow deliver mail overnight. And he wrote it up in a paper, and his professor thought it was the stupidest idea ever heard, gave him a C, just gave him a C on the paper. So when he graduated in 1971, that stupid idea became Federal Express. There are things that God has put in you that if you would let Him, He'll take those talents and just multiply them. There's somebody in this church right now that's going to, I prophesy, I know that sounds like first day stuff, right? I scared somebody when I said, I prophesy that somebody in this church is going to do something great for the Master. That's how they do it, isn't that right? Somebody's going to discover a cure for something in this church. Amen. And I can't go wrong with that prophesying, am I right? God has something very special for you to do that no one else can do. I'll tell one more. Jerry Yang and David Filo were, they didn't call them computer geeks then, but they just kind of fooled around with computers. It was a hobby for them while they were graduate students at Stanford. In fact, it would interfere with their schoolwork as they were fooling around with it. And also, they liked to go on the internet and just kind of mess around. And they called it jazz up things. And so they decided to start a company, which no one paid any attention to. And just like they had a sort of irreverence about them. Maybe that's why sometimes we don't take people serious. And they started up a site which they called yet another hierarchical officious oracle, Yahoo. You didn't even know what Yahoo stood for. That's what it stands for. I mean, it was just that. How many people have not been on the Yahoo site on the computers? I mean, you just have no idea what's in the minds of people right here in this church. God wants to do great things. You think if you couple that with God's grace and His love and His mercy and His power and His wealth, that good things can't happen here at Fallbrook? They can. I want to already congratulate you for what you're going to do. I want to congratulate our young ones in advance. In fact, I need to find some time while I'm pastoring here to make sure I get your autograph. May the Lord help us to be what He wants us to be. So that one day we'll be with Him. If you have any doubts, let the cross silence those doubts. Love Him because He first loved you. Keep His commandments. You can handle that. Amen? Use your talents. Use your talents here at Fallbrook. Use your talents at home, in your neighborhood. And then one day God is going to say, well done, good and faithful servant. Do you believe that? Can it happen? You bet it can. Has He provided for us? He certainly has. More than enough. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank You for gifts and talents and abilities. We thank You that they come from You. You are the initiator. You give it to us with the idea that we'll give back. interest will come out of that. We thank you today that modeled very well by his voice, his gifts and talents put to use. We thank you for that model. We thank you for those who were here on the platform that completed a course of study and accomplished something in your name. There's more to be done. Lord, help us not to be afraid. Help us to never be conquered by fear, but to be enraptured in love. Help us to go to the cross where we'll see that perfect love manifested. We thank you for this church. We thank you for the gifts and the talents. We thank you for so much that happens behind the scenes. Even right now, there are individuals who are behind the scenes giving and giving and giving. When we eat the meal, it's because there are those who have given. We thank you for that. Oh, Lord, increase our talents. And so in doing, we might touch the lives of others. In Jesus' name, amen. You still friends? Yeah, still friends in Jesus' name. Thank you. We conclude our service.